Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Status habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Soon.
We are
and the last days.
The Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the Scripture tells of His coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
That right now, someone was choosing if you were going to live or die. What if I told you that this choice wasn't based on what you could or couldn't do, what you've done in the past, or what you would do in the future? And what if I told you you could do nothing about it? So the students and teachers, thousands of children, are right now in that very situation. Someone is choosing, without even knowing them, whether they are going to live or die. That someone is their mother, and that choice is abortion. Every day, 115,000 children are dying through abortion. 115,000. That means that 5,000 children would die every hour. All those lives, gone. All that potential, gone. And all that hope and future. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Oh, it's not really killing, after all, a fetus isn't a child, right? Why do we think that just because a fetus can't talk or do what we do, it isn't a human being yet? The word fetus comes from the Latin word, meaning young one or young child. Some babies are born after only 5 months. Is this baby not human? We would never say that, yet abortions are performed on 5-month-old fetuses all the time. Or do we only...
Okay, we're back. Hopefully y'all can hear me out there. Hopefully y'all can hear me out there. I have a Bluetooth on, so hopefully y'all can hear me. I don't have a chat room. Now we have one. Reason why I have one for tests. I'm trying to run a test. If you can hear me in the chat room, let me know. That would be awesome. If you can hear me in the chat room, let me know. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring my guest on, Phoenix from the Rossman Chronicles.
How you doing, Phil?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Oh, it's good to be on the show again. I was having a little difficulties getting through before, but I think I might have called a little too early.
No, you fine. You fine. It's just it's a big mess. I got to get my premium package this week. I keep forgetting. I had some things happen with my Walmart credit card. It sucked the money up. I'm trying to figure out where it went before I go ahead and pay it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let's get started on some of the good information you have for us.
Yes, I've recently stumbled upon some major information along the course of my studies, and as you know, that I get into some pretty detailed studies of a lot of different areas, And some clues really started stacking up, just as the Bible says in Isaiah 28:10 and Isaiah 28:13, that precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, things start to add up together. And this is enormity that I've come across before, but not on something this big. What I've come across is something in the New Age belief. Recently been reading a book called The Conspiracy, The Aquarian Conspiracy. Okay, I don't recommend that anybody go and read that book. It is a 500-page exhaustive study on the New Age belief. And, you know, as you know, that we have to study our enemies to understand them. So what I would like to do is bring New Age people to Christ, and that's the reason why I'm studying that particular topic right now. But as I realized my what I was studying before seemed to line up perfectly with what I was just studying. Okay. Now, I don't know if you advertised at all what I was going to be getting into, but there's an interesting subject in the New Age belief that a man will turn into a superhuman.
Hmm.
Yes, H.G. Wells spoke of creatures latent in ourself will someday stand upon the earth and touch the stars. Hmm. And that took me back, and I'm like, where else do we hear such things? Now, Marilyn Ferguson, the author of The Aquarian Conspiracy, spoke of this very thing, that people would have enhanced healing abilities, that these spirits that were all connected with the universe, and everyone is drawn in together as a whole. Now, I was baffled by the amount of information that this person knew. Now, I do believe that it is a woman. I could be wrong, however, by the name Marilyn, but this person was so intelligent. They were literally piecing apart all the forefathers of history in America. She put together the Einstein's theory of relativity and picked it apart piece by piece and actually understood these things. I don't know about you, but I don't really understand Einstein's theory of relativity to a certain degree, because unless we really study it on a certain level, I mean, we can only go so far in our studies, you know?
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is I really understand now that what the Bible meant when it said that the very elect will be deceived. Now, I've never personally read an author that was so intelligent but yet was so incredibly deceived, that she had every little aspect of technology, every little aspect of how the world literally revolves, as far as holographic minds, holograms in themselves, theory of relativity. She literally believed in evolution, which I'm astounded by that. But I truly know what the Bible meant now. And it's really come upon me. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but we see a common ground going on in Hollywood. Movies like Spider-Man, Hulk, Iron Man, Daredevil, X-Men, Avatar, they all have this certain correlation. I think that, as you know, the media uses Hollywood to propagandize the people, to get them to ideas and put thoughts into their heads. Now, what do all these movies have in common, Phil? Any idea?
Yeah, well, they seem like they're propaganda to me. New Age.
Well, definitely New Age. But if you particularly look at Spider-Man, okay, what we have here is Spider-Man is bitten by a genetically altered spider that genetically alters his DNA, okay? And I find it very interesting where the spider also bit Spider-Man in the movie, if people pay attention, if they've watched it, that he bit right just above the web of his inner hand. And I've heard of a lot of prophecies on the RFID chip and or Mark of the Beast in the future that will have, it'll be inside the mark of the hand or in the forehead, or I'm sorry, in the web of the hand or in the forehead. Now, this all started adding up to me. Now, I know that there's a ton and ton of studies on the mark of the beast, and I really don't generally, I never intended to really get into it on a certain level, but I, as these things lined up, I had to jump into it. Now, Lindsey Williams, speaking to his elite friend, now you know Lindsey Williams, correct?
Yes, indeed, I do.
His elite, go ahead.
I heard him just recently on Alex Jones again.
Yeah, he just recently talked to his elite friends again, and his elite friend said, "We play fair, we don't do anything until we have warned you." Many of the evil elite warn us through movies and television, okay? Yeah. What are they warning us of? That's a real question. Now, let's talk about the Mark of the Beast. Everyone knows Revelation 14, 9 through 10. If you don't, it's one of the most popular scriptures ever. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive the mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without measure into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Okay? Now, what that told us is basically, do not take the mark of the beast, but this mark of the beast will be in the forehead or in the hand region, okay? Now, Revelation 13:18 states, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is a number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, there's been a lot of theories, I don't know if you've heard, on this mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yes.
A lot of people think it's going to be an RFID chip, and I believe that's going to be a part of it. What do you think, Phil?
I don't know. It's just in the hand. I know it's just in the hand. I think it's going to be something that has to do with something that somebody can't take off or take
right.
out of you or carve out of you or whatever. It's going to be something that is there permanently that people could free. So. Yeah.
Now, a lot of people have mentioned an RFID chip, but there's also been a lot of talk about a tattoo and or a barcode. Is the barcode the mark of the beast? Robert Van Kampen in The Sign, it is interesting to note that the Greek word translated mark is chorogamma, which comes from the Greek word chorax, which means a palisade, like a picket fence. When one realizes that this specific word was used in the first century and we see today the use of the computer-related barcode, we find the possibilities becoming more than a reality in our day and age. The idea is the reason that John used the Greek word chorogamma rather than stigma is because he was describing a mark with vertical lines, as in like a picket fence, or and or a barcode. Now, when I heard that, that astounded me. I'm like, wow. So we might be really on to something here, right?
Yeah.
Now, but that doesn't explain everything. Now, it's said that Ford is a number of a man and his number, okay? That still doesn't describe a man, right? That describes a barcode. Now, what does the inventor of the UPC code say about the number 666 in the UPC barcode? The inventor of the UPC barcode, first off, is George J. Lohrer. In 1971, he created it. While Mr. Lohrer was an employee with IBM, as we talk about Bill Gates before, being a eugenicist, that's pretty familiar, he was assigned the task to design the best code and suitable for the grocery industry. Now, in 1973, Mr. Lohrer's UPC barcode entered the world, and the rest is history. Now, on Mr. Lohrer's website, he has a questions page where he answers various questions about the UPC barcode. Now, on the questions page, Mr. Lohrer answers the 666 question as follows. He said in question number 8, rumor has it that the lines that protrude below the UPC code are the numbers 666, and I'm going to describe this as best I can. Really, people are just going to have to do their own research because you really have to see it to understand it, okay? And that this is the intentional money code. or I'm sorry, international money code. I typed a code with all sixes, and that seems to be true. At least they resemble sixes. What's up? What's going on with that? The answer, yes, they do resemble the code for a six, an even party. Six is. One module wide black bar, one module wide white space, one module wide black bar, four module wide white space. That means nothing to anybody unless you really do your research. Okay? Now, there is nothing sinister about this, nor does it have anything to do with the Bible, so he quotes, or Mark of the Beast, which is in Revelation 13, 18. It is simply a coincidence, like the fact that my first, middle, and last name all have six letters. Did you hear that? And it says that the mark of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 66, and yet his first, middle, and last name all have six letters. That's very interesting. Now, he says there's no connection with an international money code either, and it's all just a crazy coincidence. Everything's always a coincidence, Phil.
Yeah.
And, of course, his website has just recently been permanently shut down.
Yeah.
Now,
can I say something real quick?
I'm sorry?
I was going to say something real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay, yeah. I would like to get you, what are you doing on Thursday?
Thursday?
Yeah.
Thursday, I don't know if I necessarily have anything going on.
Okay. I want to get, because you seem like you got a lot more information than I expected. You're really kind of, you're talking, you got wind for 2 hours show or something. But we why I interrupted you, because I got another guest that's supposed to come on, and I kind of don't want to, I want to keep going a little bit further. But I think I should have we should have had a 2 hour show, just me and you, and then something else, then you know we could have did it some other way. But anyway,
well, you guys, is your other guest coming on right now?
No. The other guy, I like to bring her on about 7:50. So my
okay.
Time.
Well, actually, I broke it down so that I could, it really is probably hours of a presentation, but I did break it down so where we could get it done in, like, no time.
Okay, that's fine. So let's just go ahead and continue, and we'll still have about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, this is just the basics. Now, I'm not saying that this is the mark. However, it is a very interesting situation that we have here, that this guy's name matches up and or that it's used inside the barcode 666, right?
Yeah.
Now, it says in Revelation 13:17, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Okay? Now, that just tells me right off rip that that's got to be a barcode.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, and there's guys that say, well, you know, the skin regenerates itself and blah, blah, blah. I understand all that. I'm just saying I think that could be a partial part of the mark, okay?
Yeah.
Now, there's a news article, Immortality Enzyme Wins Nobel Peace Prize for Medicine. Now, that's very interesting. Researchers investigate an enzyme which permits unlimited cell replication after receiving the Nobel Peace Prize for Medicine. This product's called telomerase enzyme affects control cells which govern cell replication. This telomerase and its descendant products will be of what finally puts an end to cancer, so they say. Whether it can be a true immortality enzyme remains to be seen. And I think we both know that the only way to immortality is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
But we got to remember, Satan also, in the end times, is going to want to give people a choice, just like Jesus has given people a choice. He wants to be like God, okay? He wants to above the heights of the clouds. He wants to sit on God's throne. You know, he has a 5-point plan. We've been over that before. But he wants to be like God, and so he wants to offer the people immortality. Now, another Times Online news article stated that DNA swap could cure inherited diseases. Now, that's amazing, right? The prospect of a human baby with three biological parents has moved closer as scientists were successfully used on monkeys. Now, that's very peculiar. Three biological parents. Now, we know right now that our DNA strand is a double DNA strand, right? It's a two-strand helix. Now, what I think is going to happen in the future here, in the very near future, is that they're going to give you an injection, okay, that is going to turn your DNA strand helix into a three DNA strand helix, known as a triple helix. Now, I picked up on this when I was reading the Aquarian conspiracy because the picture on the outer book shows the Aquarian symbol and it shows a three-strand DNA. Oh. And I thought that was very peculiar that these New Age beliefs would believe in the genetic changing, but they believe that man can change himself, but the New World Order believes they can change you through an injection.
Oh.
Now, yeah, it's a very stunning information. Now, we got to remember that the Bible says that the people who take the mark will break out in grievous sores, okay? I believe that's going to be a side effect of the injection.
Oh.
I think it has a lot to do with stem cell research as well. If anyone really here wants to believe that the government is trying to cure people through stem cell research, they wouldn't be putting fluoride in our water system and aspartame in our Cokes, you know?
Yeah.
There's several things they're doing in spraying chemtrails into the air and everything else. The whole thing is they're trying to destroy our immune system. As we see the new health care bill, which I do want to get into that in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I want people to understand that they're trying to put this image of a superhuman race into your mind through the movies, and they're also trying to do it through healthcare. Now, I believe it's really going to come down to a situation where they're going to say, okay, take this injection, we'll give you eternal life through immortality. There's been several news articles, just like I just read, that said that they might be able to give you immortality. So people will be tricked. The Bible says they will be caused to want to take the mark. It doesn't say it'll be mandatory right off rip. They're going to cause to want to take it. What better way to cause to take it if you offer people eternal health?
Yeah.
Now, at least, you know, do you understand where I'm going with this?
Well, yeah. Well, eternal health or eternal death. One of the two. They're going to offer to chop your head off if you don't take the mark. Or the positive is that we get your eternal life if you take it. So yeah, there are going to be pros and cons supposedly of taking the mark of the beast, but we all know for
right.
real what the beast is. So
yeah, oh, absolutely. And it says you're going to drink the cup of the wrath of the Lord's indignation. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to be doing an entire show Wednesday on this subject alone. You guys can check. You can check me out at Blog Talk Radio / Watchmen Chronicles. I'm going to be doing an entire. You know, I'm going to go more in depth, but I just kind of wanted to unveil it on your show, kind of give people a taste. Now, the Nazis were also trying to create a race of super soldiers. Everyone's heard of the Aryan race, but they were trying to create a race that they termed the Übermensch.
Mm.
Now, yeah, the Übermensch. Which they were trying to create was this genetically altered race, most likely, possibly a three-strand DNA race, which gave them incredible healing, strength, they could run fast as a cheetah, everything else. Now, I've heard some reports that they may have been able to do it back in the 50s, the Nazis. I know that sounds unbelievable, but they were doing a lot of genetic research, and I think that they probably did do it. Whether they were annihilated off, who really knows, you know? Now, we've got a lot of the, unfortunately, America and Russia split the Nazi scientists up. We got 50% and Russia got 50%. So if America got this type of research in their hands and so did Russia, you can imagine where that's going to take us. They're probably going to continue on.
Yeah.
So, real quick, there's also this movie Avatar. Now, I don't know if we spoke about this movie Avatar before. This is just another Hollywood example for people.
Yeah.
An avatar, okay, is in the Hindu religion, okay, where they await for their avatar, which is a manifestation of God in a bodily form. Okay, now where else do we see that in the Bible? Okay, we're right back to Genesis 6 again, aren't we? As we were speaking before, the sons of God come down, they take the daughters of men, and they create a race that is mighty men of old, men of renown, and we're right back at square one. That makes me wonder, when the Bible says, as in the days of Noah, so then will be the days in the end times.
Yes.
So I believe that, you know, as Solomon said, that which is that which shall be.
Yes.
So I believe this is coming into an existence, and we're going to start seeing a Superman race. Now, the important factor is we don't want to take the mark of the beast, no matter what. We got to. We're out here, we're soldiers for Christ, and we're trying to win people to Jesus. That's all I wanted to speak on that subject. I obviously can go for hours on it, but I did want to comment on the great little health care bill that just passed.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Well, being the fact that we got to have the IRS henchmen come to get us, we don't pay our fees, and having penalties charged against us for not having health care, which the problem was that when the first place that people couldn't afford health care because they didn't have any money, so now you're charging us. It's a complete mess. Besides also China looking at it as if we're spending too much money. I mean, it's bad on the surface, and it's bad inside of the bill. I mean,
absolutely.
It's
let's look at the day that it was passed. A very peculiar day, March 22nd, which was passed on Universal Time. It was actually March 22nd. What else was passed on March 20? What else happened on March 22nd? It's a very interesting day.
Well, I heard something about the Georgia Guidestones in 1980. I don't know.
1980. The Georgia Guidestones were put up on March 22nd.
Yeah.
That's right. And what else happened on March 22nd? I thought this was even more interesting. You ever heard of the Skull and Bones?
Yeah.
Their number? Their number is 322, March 22nd.
Huh. Yeah.
Very interesting. And the fact that, that the Georgia Guidestones states that the year's population is going to be reduced to 500 million, and that the health care, aka death bill, was passed on the same day is just astounding to me. Plus, you got the Skull and Bones confirmation.
Or aka abortion bill.
Yeah. Now, you know what else is in the bill, right? Of course, I'm sure you haven't read the 2,700 pages. I don't think anybody has. But we're trying to piece it apart as much as we can to help Christians understand what's in there. I have recently found that Alex Jones was talking about that RFID chips will be instituted into all people that go in to have hospital visits, and that's in the bill.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. Another thing in the bill is national ID cards mandatory if you want health care.
Yeah.
So we got a double whammy right there. People say they're not going to take a chip. You know? So as we see these our government turn to communism more and more, I think we're going to see an outcry from the people, and something's going to have to be done. We're really heading down the wrong road, Phil.
Yeah, quick, too. Very quick.
I mean, they control the school system, so they propagandize, or let's just call them indoctrination camps. That's pretty much what they are. They control the colleges, which is the same thing, propaganda machines. They control transportation. They control the hospitals. We're a communist nation, just about. I think we hit 7 out of 10 tiers of communism. It was like 6 or 7. And I think that was before the healthcare bill went through. And most people don't realize that there's an addendum in doctors that they have to give up annually a third of their time free. Now, most people don't know that. So, really, the poor people that can't afford healthcare could have gotten healthcare for free anyways. We didn't need to pass a bill.
Well, a lot of this stuff, believe it or not, is not really what is on the surface. I believe, this is just me, but I believe that Obama's agenda or his barking orders were to destroy the United States. Now, the reason why
absolutely.
I say that, when he came out, Mr. Nobel Peace Prize man came out, he was supposed to come out and save the economy. But instead of coming out just to save the economy, he came out with the very thing that got us into trouble in the first place by spending money. And he
didn't
spend money. You can't spend money and get out of a hole. You're just digging yourself up. Somebody said, get out that hole. Well, I'm trying to. Well, it don't look like you're trying to because you're digging. You're still digging. I mean,
right.
That's what we're looking at. The health care bill on the surface by itself, I don't care if you're African-American, green, silver, Chinese, you should be able to look at the surface and say, wait a minute, I understand that African race went through, you know, slavery and the civil rights movement, but they ain't spending too much money. I mean, it's common sense. It's not a matter of being a socialist or a communist and not knowing it. It's a matter of just knowing that the dude's spending too much money.
Absolutely.
If we spend too much money, we're going to run ourselves into a hole. Anybody should know that. You don't even have to ask us what's in the bill. Nobody's going to have to ask you in Phoenix what's in the bill. You just know that we're spending $1 trillion, we've already been spending too much money.
Now, I know that this bill is 2,700 pages, and for Obama to even know what's in the bill, I mean, let's just look at the Bible. I mean, the Bible is, what, 1,300 to 1,500 pages, depending on what version you get?
Yeah.
And people spend years studying that, and they still don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, not to mention a bill. This is an amendment, right? This is an amendment to the Constitution, okay? The Constitution is only 5 pages long.
Yeah, exactly.
The Bill of Rights is 1 page.
Yeah.
Why do you need 2,700 pages? I don't know if you figured that out, but it stacks up to around 12 inches. I had to stack up some books to find out how big of a stack that would be.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Now, no president ever should ever sign a bill that he can't read in one setting. I mean, that's usually – that's the typical norm. You could read the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in one setting, no problem.
The tricky thing about it is a lot of people would probably say, like I had a relative to come in the chat room, and he says, why do you start talking about this stuff? And I like saying to him, I'm like, okay, well, me and you are talking about, believe it or not, is very important. Because if you don't know this is going on, what else do you don't know? I mean,
well, absolutely. It's like the other day I was at the gas station and I bought a Snickers and a Starburst and it cost me $3.50. People are going to start realizing what inflation feels like because we're about to see massive amounts of inflation and they're going to care, Phil. They're going to care big time when they can't feed their families.
And Phoenix, guess what came out the same? Guess when they passed that deal on Monday morning, guess what they were trying to bring up now? Cap and trade.
What's that?
Cap and
trade. Oh, yeah, of course. They're trying to pass that all day long. And even Obama said, even if you don't pass cap and trade, I will pass it through the EPA.
Yeah.
Just like he did carbon dioxide when he deemed it a deadly poison.
Yeah. So anything, for those who don't know cap and trade is about, any from the point of you getting a bag of chips to the point of the factory, they're going to tax every movement of the from the manufacturing of the potato chips to the distribution to you at the cash register, to you jumping in your car and going home. Every phase, including you jumping in your car and going home, will be taxed.
Not to mention they'll tax you, they'll track you every step of the way as well.
Yeah.
Through your cell phone, through your GPS in your car, through your tags in your clothing now have RFID chips.
Sure.
I mean, we're living in a Big Brother society, and this is why people should care. Because ultimately, this is just to show people that the Bible is real. We are living in the end times.
Yeah.
Now, I just, I don't know if I talked about it before, but I just did another study on the Jubilee periods, okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The Jubilee periods are like every 40 to 50 years, right? And the Bible talks about how, you know, man's spirit will only last for 120 years. Okay, well, when it was talking about that, people were living a lot longer than that. So it wasn't talking about an average amount. It was talking about 120 Jubilee periods, I feel. And we're in the 120th Jubilee period. I find that very interesting.
Well, let me tell you something else. And people, remember a couple minutes ago I said, and I don't know why I said it, I said a day and an hour is different from a month and a year. And the reason why I say that, Jesus said, you know when I'm at the door. So if Uncle Charlie, if Uncle Charlie's coming out with a whole bunch of Christmas presents, you know when he's at the door. He might not be at the house, but you know when he's at the door. But anyway, the Jubilee, you're right. From 1967 to 2017, it's a Jubilee. Yeah, you're right. The 50th year is when God will come to bring everything to fulfillment. But here's something to look at. In 1948, Israel became a nation. If you count 70 years up, you come to May 2018. However, if you read Leviticus 23, you'll notice that the fall feast, Jesus, the first four feasts were done at Jesus' first coming, which are spring feasts. And the three remaining will come be at his second coming. But here's the deal: if May 2018 was to be the fulfillment of that generation spoken of in Psalms 90, verse 10, which is 70-year generation, if it's over at that point, it's falling in the wrong season. And what I mean
right, I've actually heard the terms that the beginning of the last Jubilee period was like in the 90s. So I heard that the actual time frame they were thinking was 2035-ish. But, a guess. That's a guess.
If you read the generation, if you read Psalms, let's look at the people who are alive. Okay, what's the average age people you see at the hospital in your major town? Well, when you read the obituary, the average age of the person is about around 70, 75.
Right.
And if you read Psalm 90, 10, it says if you're lucky, you'll make it to 80.
Right.
Well,
yeah, exactly. I mean, people are living around the 70 year. I mean, that puts you right around 2020. If you figure Israel becoming a nation, I mean, there has to be one person left on the earth for that generation not to, to go away. So maybe that person will live to be 70-ish, 80-ish, who knows. But we're both on agreement that we're going to see it in our lifetime.
Yeah.
That's for sure. If we're still, if we're not martyred and everything else. But it's really coming down the pipeline in this nation. I think people really need to start waking up.
Yes, indeed. You say you're gonna have a show on Wednesday. On Wednesday?
Yeah, Wednesday, 6 o'clock. Everyone can check it out. Go to blogtalkradio.com/Watchman Chronicles. It's gonna be about the Mark of the Beast and biometrics. I didn't get too much into that, but yeah, I wanted to just kind of crack the case open a little bit, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Now, 6 o'clock. What time?
It'll be six p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. That's sweet. Yeah. Okay,
so,
man. I enjoyed your coming on the show. I want you to come on for longer than this, though.
Yeah, we'll get it in there. We'll fit it in. We're gonna have to talk about Middle East, what's going on in China, Russia. Let's talk about these secret warfare plans. You know, we can go all day. So, we'll have to schedule something in. I know that I'm about 3 hour time difference in you, so we'll figure something out.
Okay, man. Well, you have a blessed week, man. And I enjoy
you too.
Okay,
thanks, Bill. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's Phoenix from the Watchmen Chronicles. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit wekillchildren.org and find the show. That's wekillchildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prosperity Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same, because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey, everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone. Times, we're in the last days. The clock is on, and the
we could know how that it is close within weeks. I think sometimes what we do is we kind of feel guilty and we kind of stay out of exact predicting of God's coming by a year or two. And we get confused with the month or year. And then we say, we trust at somebody for saying, you can't tell the year, you know. But this individual is not totally convinced that Jesus will ever come back. And if you read Matthew 25, you go look at Matthew 25, and you're going to see that all the virgins were asleep. But five had oil, which is the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Why are five asleep? And why are they still asleep? Because it's time to be asleep. It was 12 midnight. But they were doing God's work, probably, but they were asleep. A lot of people that I talked to have no idea of what's coming down the pipe. I mean, and people I literally talk to think that Jesus come back about 20 years from now. And you say, well, no, you don't. They think it's, look, this is me. This is me. I'm sorry. I understand this is me. But I think we should always say it's us rather than we get it from the Bible. When we get it from the Bible, let's say we got it from the Bible. But when somebody says, try to make me look stupid by saying, or make somebody else look stupid because they want Jesus to come back, and he did promise a reward to those who are looking for his coming, when they make us look stupid, they look a lot more stupid. And I'm not trying to be funny, but when they say, you know, Jesus said no one knows the day and hour, but I just said this year sometime. I didn't say a day and hour. Who's looking stupid? But we always make ourselves look stupid because we're watching for Jesus is coming. That's why he said that don't let a man steal your reward. What did he mean by that? Because of offense. See, a lot of people will go and preach the word of Jesus. There's probably a lot of people out there called for evangelism for end-time Bible prophecy in Ezekiel 33. There's probably a lot of people called to say the sky falls. And yes, it will fall. So what are you talking about? The sky will fall. If you read the book of Revelations, I don't mean it literally, but yes, doomsday will come. There will be days where the Bible talks about the day of the Lord. Should be fire and brimstone. And it talks about in Zechariah that a man be standing on his feet, standing up, and his eye sockets will melt, and his skin will melt off, and that's a nuclear explosion. Yes, the sky will fall, folks. Wake up and smell the coffee. I think a lot of us paint it too clean. I'm starting to believe that the gospel of come down, say a sinner's prayer, and God will love you, is permeating throughout. And super speed throughout the whole church. Now, God said, I will build my church in the gates of hell and not prevail against it. The church of Philadelphia needed God's help. We needed God's power to go forth and preach to proclaim the gospel. We're also watching for him, looking for that blessed hope and the glory preparing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everybody's trying to watch Billy graduate. I got a newborn baby. I would love to see her graduate, but would I rather for her to walk the pearly gates and go down the road of gold? Yeah. Let's be realistic. Not just my kids. Let me get my head out of my butt and care about other people. Man, folks, there are kids getting molested all around the world. Is that a reason why you want the world to end? Probably one out of a million reasons why. Well, you're selfish because we want people to get saved. I think that's already taken care of. After I watch the news, maybe it's my mental problem, but after I watch the news and see things Even if you watch a sitcom, there's so much negativism on a sitcom, it's ridiculous. And we're so numb, we can't tell. We got a doggone show, and it's not a sitcom. We got a show of these girls somewhere in Maryland having a pack to have a baby. Now, if you get numb on that, we got problems. Is the world all that bad? You know, I don't look at, I always, and the funny thing about it, the way I'm preaching to y'all, y'all will probably be able to say, I look at the glass half empty. But normally, I look at the glass half full. But doggone it, if somebody come up and drink your water, you ain't going to have no water to look at anything half full or empty. This is exactly what's going on. Society is taking our faith away from us. That's why I said something to depart from the faith. It didn't come by accident. Satan took it. Satan took it. He steals, kills, and destroys. And he does a wonderful job at it. He's been doing it for thousands of years, folks. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the world's coming to crap. And y'all can get mad at me all y'all want. I'm tired of these YouTubers coming out talking about the world will go on for a billion years, but 2012 will be the end of the world. You mixed up person, you. You really want the world to end in 1 year? Or would you rather go through 7 years, at least you can have God's mercy? I'm so scared, I'd rather for him to just knock it all out in 1 year. Because I really don't care if anybody hears the gospel besides me anyway. I was going to put a gun to my head. Look, I think you'd rather for it to be God's way. At least you got 7 years to make a decision. And the first 3.5 are peaceful. Okay, enough of my babbling. Let me bring on my guest. My beautiful lady, she's evangelist Shannon Scott David. I hope I said her last name correctly. And we're going to talk about a lot of interesting things. We only got like 30, 45 minutes. But when I say a lot of things, trust me, the things that we're going to be talking about are very important. God is good. He's wanting to get people equipped for the end time run that we have here. Shannon?
Yes. Can
How you
hear
doing?
Me?
Yes,
I'm
ma'am.
Fine.
I'm fine. That's
I'm
great.
Fine.
I love to hear somebody tell me they're good.
I am blessed.
That's blessed
to be on your program tonight.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't advertise. I'm kind of getting ready to do some other things. But
well, you should be.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you. Praise the Lord. Praise
yes.
the Lord.
Thank you.
I like what you were saying about the children.
Yeah.
You know, they are our future. And
yes,
really, the influence of the scriptures that we teach them will stay with them throughout their childhood.
Yeah.
You know, that is such an important thing. Let me introduce myself to your listeners, and I especially want to talk to your listeners, and I'm talking to, even though I'm talking to you, Phil,
yeah.
I am talking to, when I say you, I'm talking to that listener out there,
the
one that is hearing me right now.
Yeah.
My name is Shannon Scott David, and my program, or our program, is Case for Thee, with two E's, KJV, the King James Version of the Bible. Our program is on Thursdays at 2 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Case for the KJV is a program devoted to the propagation and perpetuation of the King James Version. We discuss the King James Version, and we delineate the different versions like the NIV and the NKJV. We deal with current events, and we deal with major life issues which affect us all as Christians, and we see what the King James Version, the authorized version, has to say about these issues. And we believe at our show that God's Word is perfect. It was interpreted perfectly in 1611 by 57 scholars. It took them 7 years and 7 tries to do it. And they had, back in those days, they didn't have computers or word processors or even weekends to do it. And they had all the kings, they had everybody in the world at their disposal, the greatest scholars and the greatest calligraphers, the greatest historians in the entire world. So this is this translation came from the books at Antioch, and we believe that they are the most accurate, God-inspired, God-breathed words. And we present the King James Version as the authorized, true word of God. And if you listen to our program, I think that you can make up your own mind, and we can show you, and we do show you, different passages and how words are so important.
Yes.
In a nutshell. Okay?
Yes,
all right. Okay. So moving on to children, and one of our subjects was teaching our children well.
Yeah.
The influence of Scripture since childhood can be found in 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 to 16.
Yeah.
3:14-16. And okay, you're going to recognize verse 16. It says in 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that a child from and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Does that ring a bell? Yes, it does. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for inspiration in righteousness. And if we set our child on that path, they can certainly make more wise decisions. Because this use of Scripture, they can use this in teaching and training. And the first job of a parent, in my opinion, is not only to raise them to know reading, writing, and arithmetic. The first job of a parent is to know that they teach that child that they are a child of God, to raise that child in the church, to raise that child up knowing the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is the primary and first duty, to raise that child knowing the love of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. And at what age did you know Christ Jesus, Phil?
Oh, man. I think I'm, to make a long story short, I think I'm making the same mistakes my mom did. And what happened was she assumed that taking me to Sunday school would do the trick. And to answer your question, I didn't really get saved until I was in the Army, like late the second time around. So,
okay.
You know, yeah.
All right.
So,
we all have different paths.
Yeah.
We all have different paths. Now, speaking of paths of salvation, like, for instance, me, I am a native Texan, and mm-hmm. I was, my grandmother raised me, well, my mother and father raised me, of course, but my grandmother had a tremendous influence on me in my very young years, and I was raised Southern Baptist. And by the time I was 3 years old, I knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And,
yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
I knew the Lord Jesus Christ at 3 and 4 years old. Now,
yeah.
Here rises an interesting delineation, which we do on Case for the KJV.
Mm-hmm.
Let's compare salvation. What is salvation? Salvation, is it according to Romans 10:9? As we turn to Romans, let's see, Romans 10:9, okay. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In many missions which I have been a part of, or visited, or have been a part of, because I am a street missionary and have been for about 8 years now.
Uh-huh.
This is one of the key verses, Romans 10:9. You must believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, the Lord Jesus. And if you do, guess what? You are saved. So, is salvation, as described in the King James Version in Romans 10:9, it says, thou shalt be saved. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 1:18, and we see that the King James Version reads, for the preaching of the cross is to them which perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Compare that with the New King James Version. Now, many people have an idea that because they put New King James Version, that it was just updated to say that the New King James Version was just updated to say, instead of Old English, instead of ye, it would say you. And instead of maybe thee, it would say thee or you, and it would get rid of some archaic pronouns. The archaic pronouns were for a reason, which I won't get into because I'm an English major. You can only be conjugated a certain way in Old English. But get this, New King James Version. For the message of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Let's read that. Being saved. So they're saying, this translation, New King James, says that salvation is not that you're saved. It is a process.
Yeah.
It is a process of being saved. So does the New International Version say, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Going back to The original for the KJV, for the preaching of the cross, is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, you take a little Sunday school, that one of your children, and they get into Sunday school, and they, you don't know it, maybe you're reading out of the King James, but you think the Sunday school is using the King James, maybe the Sunday school is using the NKJV, and they're saying being saved. Well, the child's going to get awfully confused. Well, what do I have to, being saved? Sounds like an AA process or something, you know, a 10-step program or something.
Yeah.
Okay? It's being saved versus you are saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart, the Lord Jesus is risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So that's a major difference. A major difference.
Big time difference.
You with me so far?
Yep.
Okay. Let's say, going back to the original duty of a parent. And do you have kids?
Yep, sure do.
All right. Okay. Now, we have a big discrepancy in Proverbs 22:6. And I didn't mean to delineate all this, but this one happens to be a very big delineation also. Besides, as I'm turning to it, did you know the NIV takes out 65,000 words out of the King James Version?
Nope, man, I didn't hear about that.
65,000, approximately, I think it's 64,523, but it's approximately 65,000. Okay. All right. Let's go to that good old proverb. 22:6. Proverbs. Here we go. King James Version.
Okay.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Okay.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay, I do have grown children.
Yeah.
Okay, so do I. And
yeah.
They went to Sunday school, and then they did their little thing, and now they've come back to the church. Okay.
Yeah.
So now let's look at the NKJV, the New King James, and it says the same thing as the basically the same thing. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. All right? That's the same thing. But, again, the devil will throw in truth, and he will throw in some untruths.
Yeah.
Now, we look at the NIV, and it just says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. There is a difference in the words train. The word up is deleted, so is not raising up or training up like you would raise up or train up a child from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5. It's just train a child, and he will not turn from it. There's a difference between turning from something and departing from something. You can still be in something and turn in it, but you can't be in something if you're departing from it.
Yeah.
I know these are pretty, these are pretty word-picky-nicky things, you know, but you have to be that way to get down in this stuff to really do a Bible study. And and of course, the last thing we want to look at on teaching our children well is Matthew 18, and that is verses 1 through 6. And the main verse there is verses 1 and 3, 1, 2, and 3. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. And he said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
Wow.
Okay? So, who is the greatest in heaven? Little children. Be converted. Be ye converted. Except ye be converted. So, that is the job of missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
Missionaries are the agents, and we all have talent out there, okay? Yeah. You. Not you, Phil. We know what your talent is, but I'm talking to the ones, I'm talking to you sitting on the couch listening, and you have a particular talent which needs to be used. You have a testimony which needs to be heard. I would love to see you go out this week and testify to someone and see what reaction you get.
Yeah.
You will be amazed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you testify to people, I'm sure, Phil.
I love it.
You know? And what happens? When you testify.
You know that seed is being laid, and you do get a reaction.
Yeah, and a lot of times you get reaction from people around the person you're testifying to that you don't even know are listening.
Yep.
I've had that happen many a time, and you'll get a reaction from people around the one you're testifying to that you don't even know are listening.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're going to make a difference in someone's life. And we all look forward to going to see our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And the one thing I would dare say a lot of Christians want is to see their family and friends and co-workers and good buddies and be saved.
Yep.
Okay? And sometimes it's very difficult to talk to a relative, and it has to come from a stranger.
Yep.
Never a hero in your own hometown, like like Jesus.
Exactly.
Okay? All right.
Yeah. Let's cover just a little bit of the end times a little bit.
Sure.
Take on it very quick.
All right. I'm not going to tell you anything that the Bible doesn't say. Okay? All right. Signs of Christ Jesus' return, or Lord Jesus Christ's return. One of the first signs we have, Matthew 24. Let me get out my other Bible here. I have the other Bible all marked. Matthew 24 is a cornerstone chapter. If you read Matthew 24, you're going to get so much information about the end times, the whole chapter, Matthew 24. Number one, we will see deceivers. Deceivers. Matthew 24, verses 1 through 5. Let's talk about deceiving. And in Matthew 24:24, we see, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceives you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. That is as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives. We have, okay, that's Matthew 1 through 5. I should do that differently. Okay, Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show signs, great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That is very important. You can see that happening in our government today. Deceiving the very elect.
Yep.
In Matthew 20, and I see it, so I'm sure that I'm not the only person that says it. Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Okay, those are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses.
Yeah.
Okay, the first one I messed up, so let's read that one again. Matthew 24:1-5. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. How many times have we seen these cuckoos out there saying, I'm Christ, I'm God, Jim Jones, came to my mind, of course, I'm in Salt Lake City, right? And the big LDS guy supposed to be a prophet got caught with about, $60,000 and wearing tennis clothes and everything. From the polygamists? Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, now there shall also be signs of wars. We'll go to Matthew 6. Go to Matthew 6, and we go to the middle of verse 7, and we have, that can't be it, it must be Matthew 24:6, and ye shall hear of wars. Okay, Matthew 24:6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the evil is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. I certainly see that we have a lot of wars going on in the Congo and in Arab territory and Africa and a lot of places you can look around. So we've talked about deceivers is one thing. Wars is one thing. Faith. A lot of people are going to lose their faith. And we were talking last night about people who are just complacent about their faith, like the Laodiceans that Jesus Christ spoke about. In Revelation, we see faith, Matthew 24:10-12. Matthew 24:12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about this last night.
Yeah.
You said a lot of people just take a lot of things for granted and need to get off their duff.
Yes, indeed.
Right?
Yes, indeed. We're running out of time.
Exactly.
So thank you. Thank you, sister. It's coming down to the end of the hour, end of the show. I appreciate you so much. I would like to have you back on in a couple of weeks, if you can.
Well, thank you so much. I have really enjoyed being here, and
yes,
I thank you for having me on.
Yes, ma'am.
And I want to wish and pray that your program should receive the blessings of Jesus Christ, and that listener out there who's on the teetering tottering board, please accept Jesus Christ in your heart tonight. Thank you so much.
Amen. God bless you, sister. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Wonderful week. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Okay, that was a wonderful interview. Shannon from the case for the King James. We're going to be coming off on Thursday because I'm probably going to spend the whole time just talking about various subjects. No chat room. I didn't want to have a chat room today, but I didn't know if anybody was picking me up. A lot of times the chat rooms to me is good. But also the chat rooms can have a lot more negative effects than it has any good. What I'm probably going to do is have some type of a membership that would be free, that somebody can just go on to my chat room at the same time and we just chat, and then I'll know where they're coming from. Every week, every time I have a show, there's some drama to the chat room. I don't mind. I just want to have an even flow. I think it's better for that to just be an even flow rather than a chat room where opposing opinions. We already have a therapist doctor, and we don't need nothing else. So I'm not scared of opposing opinions or anything like that, but we don't have the time for that. We don't. I mean, to me, I know that I live with all this. I think there's a lot of missed truth out there because everybody is living in a gospel of want to be right. I call it the gospel of want to be right, and I have to get out of it myself. That's why when Sister Shannon was reading the scripture of a child, you have to be like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a submissive mind, a submissive heart to God, the Spirit of God, that He may talk to you and guide you. It's not a mind that want to be right. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I don't want to have a gospel of, okay, He's coming back tomorrow or coming back yesterday. I don't want the gospel of who the Antichrist is. I believe the only reason why I defend the rapture so much is because I believe that a church that is prepared and knows that they're preparing for something is better off than a church that, oh, I'm good with however it pans out. You know, there's pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, and pan-trib. So however it pans out, I'm good. And I think that's irresponsible. I believe that also to call the day of the Lord God's judgment, and then say the church goes through it, and then don't give a reason why the church goes through it. The cross is strong and sufficient. And I think we're there. And as far as people saying that there is no, there's some good Christians saying there is no rapture. I'm starting to distance myself from those people. There is no blessed hope. There is no hope. If we like miserable like all men, and we have to go through the tribulation period, what good is it? We're miserable like all men. But see, we have a Savior that's already said it is finished on the cross. We don't need any purifying. He's trying to shake the world that people would get saved.
because hell is enlarging itself. And we have to sit up here and say, oh, yeah, we're going through the tribulation period. Who's the Antichrist? And tell us to look for the Antichrist. That's from people here. Oh, but God built a rock that he can't lift. This is my last time having a chat room for a long time because I just think there's just opposition every 5 seconds. I mean, if the people are calling my guests infidels, I mean, it's just too much. It's gay people coming on. Just, I mean, people calling in. It's just ridiculous stuff now. If I'm not doing the work of God, I don't know what I'm doing. There's no enemies that are going to call for no reason. Okay? I can take that. I wouldn't be in the gospel if I couldn't take resistance. That's fine. Okay? That is fine. But anyway, God bless everybody out there. Y'all have a wonderful day. God bless.